Morning, everyone.
Morning.
You're okay and back. Thank you for saving me a seat. Thank you to my teacher, Galen Roshi, for this opportunity to work on my practice. Thank you all for being here. So the background to this talk is that Galen Roshi asked me a few weeks ago if I would give a Dharma talk either this weekend or the following one. And I was a little excited because today, March 3rd, is my birthday. So I jumped at the chance to talk today because that seemed like a very auspicious opportunity. But what I failed to notice at that time is that meant I'd be giving the talk the week after Tenshin Roshi gave his talk at the conclusion of our sesshin. So it feels a little bit like last week we were all at the Olympics. And this week I've invited you to watch me play a little league game. So with that in mind, please know that the purpose of this talk is just to encourage you to practice. For a little while now, I've been serving as the work leader most Sundays and in a few sesshins, including last week's sesshin. And so I thought that that might be something interesting to talk about. In our schedules, especially if you've participated in a sesshin, in an extended retreat, you've probably noticed that there are these various roles throughout the temple that regularly appear. These include the Eno, who takes care of the Zendo and the Doan Ryo. The Doan Ryo is the group of people who take care of the services. So you have the Doan, who sounds the bells, the Kokyo, who leads the chants. What is here at Kokyo today? You have the Fukudo, who keeps the tempo on the Mokugyo, the little fish drum. I don't know why it's shaped like a fish.
Thanks, Dharma talk.
Okay. And there's the Tanto, Current Tim, the head of practice. And for sesshin, we have the Tenzo, the head cook. And on Sunday services and during sessions, we have the this word I learned, the Shisui, or work leader. These positions are ancient roles that have been continuously passed down to us in large part due to our Dharma ancestor, Eihei Dogen, who brought Zen practice from China to Japan. He wrote down a handbook describing how a Zen temple should operate called the Eihei Shingi, and you can still find it today. There's a great translation by Taigen Dan Layton, who's a Zen priest and a lineage holder in our tradition. Our temple runs a little bit differently for a number of reasons, but largely because we emphasize a lot of practice for lay people, and as opposed to, not as much monastic practice, although a lot of our practices are actually monastic practices. In a monastery like Eheji, there would be a director, an assistant director, the treasurer, a full-time tenzo, the Eno, and the work leader, who are the officers responsible for the operation of the temple. And we're a little different. We have a board of directors that do some of those roles, but then we also have some of these really ancient roles. I almost said that the officers are responsible for the more secular functions of the temple, but this would be actually very far off because, as taught and passed down by Dogen, there's actually no separation between the more pedestrian functions of the temple and the practice or practice realization of the monks. So what this naturally leads to is the truth that in our practice, these positions are not just for the function of carrying out temple operations, but also for training. And I think this is a very important point to emphasize, that the various roles we have are training positions, but they're not for the position holder to train others per se, but for the training of the position holder. And I think that's sort of interesting about our tradition, not necessarily about the training, because in just about any job you could have in the world, there's usually at least some amount of time where it's expected that the person will be in training, learning the functions of the job. But in our practice, there's no separation between the training and the function. So by extension, there's no point in time when the practice begins and training ends. Practice and training are one and the same, although over time, sometimes the training aspect appears in ways which are a little bit more subtle and nuanced. So to leap off with, here's what Dogen says about the position of the work leader. The job of work leader is generally to take charge of arranging all the work in the temple. They must conduct all repairs in the temple, including dormitories, gates, and windows, fences, and walls, and all the daily work tools and equipment, and as the time requires, take care of repairs and replacements of decorations and ornaments. The work leader must take care of the grain mill, the fields and gardens, the workrooms and shops, the oil refining shop, the latrine tanks, the horse stables, boats and carts, general cleaning, and the sowing of seeds. That's why we ask for a lot of help. Circulating throughout the temple, the work leader must protect it by keeping out burglars and must assign and supervise the various workers. All this must be managed with an attitude of serving everyone with strong effort, understanding when and knowing how each task must be carried out. If there are major repairs or significant projects, they should be conducted after consultation and getting the approval of the abbot, then conferring with the other temple administrators about the work leader's plan. They should not be done only according to the work leader's viewpoint. The work leader stays in the kuin, the kitchen and administrator's offices building, the same as the other temple administrators. However, the work leader must always be attending to the work leader's shop and thoroughly review whether or not the workers have accomplished their tasks. Although the work leader's shop is inside the temple, it stands outside the eastern corridor to the east past the kuin, which is along the eastern corridor, situated so that the sound of axes chopping wood does not reach the monk's hall, the dharma hall, the abbot's room, or the kuin. The Sutra of the 3000 Deportments says there are five things to teach people about chopping firewood. First is not to do it in the pathways. Second is to start by making sure that the axe handle is secure and safely anchored. Third is not to chop green wood for firewood. Fourth is not to chop lumber disrespectfully from monuments. And fifth is to pile up the wood in a place where it can dry. It's a little bit more. But I mean, it was important to talk, so I'll keep reading it. A temple's water clock, we can talk about that later, is placed in the work leader shop where two workers are in charge of it. The work leader cares for and maintains the whole temple with increasing prudence and humility without neglecting anything. They repair and replace temple property and equipment to keep it neat and shiny. Towards the common laborers and oven attendant workers, the work leader has an attitude of helping everyone without any personal interests. The Zenon Shingi says, for work for the sake of community of monks, there is the work leader. Therefore, even before being informed by monks in the assembly, if there are things that are old and broken, the work leader should repair or replace them. The Shingi says, for monks to be practicing peacefully in their quarters and value and protect the temple property is the reward of the work leader. The Shingi also says, for a resident monk to receive and use something without thinking of its use by later people is what is not rewarding for the work leader. Therefore, the work leader's efforts are the assembly of monks' efforts. The assembly of monks' rewards are the work leader's rewards. How could this work leader's job be only the spreading of conventional truth? How could this be only something received and used as a means to get somewhere along the road? The previously enumerated items throughout the pure standards for temple administrators all grasp the noses of the ancient Buddhas and are all the eyes of former sages. They cannot fail to be useful throughout past and present. They cannot fail to match the study enlightenment of the way. If the thighs and elbows, in other words, the practical activities of daily life, are abandoned, then certainly the crown of the head will also be overthrown. Then how will there be a face to meet the Buddha ancestors? So when I read this, I had a pretty warm feeling about it. Although it was written almost 800 years ago, the feeling and intent of the text still resonates with our practice today, and even though we may organize it a bit differently. So what have I learned in all my training as the work leader? Well, you will not know where everything is. Supplies are located all over the temple, partly according to function and partly to according to there being a convenient space. We'll also not know how to complete every task. There are any number of jobs which you as the work leader may think that you should know what to do, but just because you're the work leader, you may not know how to do it. The appropriate response is to ask for instruction. And if you cannot get instruction, then you have to decide whether or not to proceed. As long as safety is not an issue, just go ahead and make your best effort thinking about what will best serve the Sangha. The best attitude is not knowing, which is not blissful ignorance, but an open, thoughtful, and attentive curiosity. Without a doubt, you will find that sometimes, despite your best efforts, you will get it wrong. Because you are the work leader, some people will assume that you know where things are and that you know what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with saying that you don't know, but the best attitude going beyond that is, let's find out. Sometimes tasks are expanded or contracted to fit the work period, and sometimes the work period is expanded or contracted to fit the tasks. Although everything is equal in non-duality, work tasks have different priorities. There are many things which would be excellent to accomplish, but without food, water, and working toilets, there will be no monks. Some people work quickly and some work slowly. Some pay very close, careful attention to their task, and others take a much more casual approach. Different people will approach the same tasks in myriad different ways, and oftentimes in a way different than you yourself would. It says in the song, the Jewel Mirror Samadhi, now there are sudden and gradual which teachings and approaches arise. Once basic approaches are distinguished, then there are guiding rules. But even though the basis is reached and the approach comprehended, true eternity still flows. While tasks and projects do get completed, there's actually no end to work practice. This might be obvious to most people, but it bears repeating. This is because all of life is not a set of discrete individual things, but actually myriad processes all happening and influencing each other simultaneously, what is called Zenki, which means the total dynamic functioning or the whole works. If you pay attention, leading work practice will show you a lot about your mind. It will show you your assumptions, your presuppositions, your biases, your prejudices. You may find that people will surprise you with what they're good at and not so good at their attitudes, at their demeanor, etc. But what this is showing you is primarily not about the other people, but about your own mind. And all of the above will cause many thoughts and feelings to arise in the mind. This arising is the opportunity for the work leader to cultivate the four Brahma Viharas, also known as the four immeasurables, which are metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, empathetic joy, and upekkha, equanimity. Adding these together, you might come up with Robai Shin, or grandmother mind, as Dogen taught. So, it was a few sessions ago, I wrote this, and this will, sort of a poem, it'll sound very familiar to everyone who's gone to sesshin, but with a little, just a couple tweaks. Guideline. Welcome to work practice, also known as your entire life. During this next practice period, with our Zen comrades and with the benefit of deep teachings, we are making an effort to explore the mind and body in an intensive way. Please relax into the Buddha activity and allow yourself to follow the schedule wholeheartedly. Dharma teachings can flourish in the wholesome atmosphere of our life, and our mindful compassion will allow our fellow Zen comrades to grow and practice during this precious time. Thank you very much.